This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Most defensive linemen, first year, it's a bit of a transition. But if they can get, probably not a Mason Graham, but, you know, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, who, depending on the size of the buffet, it runs anywhere from 335 to 340. That Dexter Lawrence type, and I don't want to say Dexter Lawrence type because he's one of one, but that kind of player where you have someone like a Chris Jones, like a Nnamdi Madubuike, who can not only get in there and you know, soak up blocks for other people and make that possible, but just wreck half an offensive line by himself.
That is Doug Farrar on Yesterday with One Bills Live, as the NFL Combine will get going next week. We're all seemingly in full-on draft mode. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Wanted to play that clip coming in here, too, especially because we will be sort of diving headfirst into the 2025 draft. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network is going to join us in about an hour. And I've like been excited for this conversation since I booked it last week.
Yes.
I love Ryan. I had him on a few times with Shope and the Bulldog, and he was somebody that kind of, you know, for a while there, Keon Coleman was not on the radar for any like wide receiver.
But he was low. Like he was, but like he was low on it for a lot of people.
He was very low on it, and Ryan was one of the guys that was like, "Well,
hang on,
he might be a guy for the Bills." And you know, what do you know?
Like a month later, he was the guy for the Bills.
He was the guy for the Bills. So like now, he's become one of my more trusted go-to guys with the draft. Of course, everyone at the Draft Network also is a really, really good get. They all know their stuff. They all do copious amounts of homework.
They're all very nice people, too.
You know, if we're being honest, I could probably ask him about the 2026 draft, and he'll probably give me a little bit of a rundown on it.
Give a little bit of a sneak peek.
Yep, so I'm very excited for that conversation. And really, I think we're all in this point now of talking about the draft and talking about the offseason because the Bills have clear needs. And this draft class in particular seems to be, or maybe not even just the draft class, the offseason in particular seems to be a buffet for the Bills and their needs, whether it be edge rusher and the trade requests.
So we've been workshopping something, though, for mm-hmm. the last couple days. You and me both on separate shows and then yesterday together. To a point where we finally have agreed now on a name for what we want to do this year. When it comes to our draft strategy and our preference for what the Bills end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that name is?
The Beef Wagon.
Beef Wagon.
We're on the Beef Wagon.
Hop on the Beef Wagon, everyone.
I want to have some fun with it because, of course, you know, Jeremy and Joe had the wide receiver train. I think they're still kind of doing it to a certain extent as
yes.
well. But I want to have a little bit of fun with it, kind of put our own stamp on it. And well, yes, I do want another receiver. And if we're going through like my
nice.
Draft plan, I want a receiver if they don't trade any of the picks.
But I do also
one of those
feel
seconds.
Like you might find something in free agency more capably.
Hollywood Brown.
Worked for them, didn't it?
I mean, did it work for the Chiefs?
When he got back healthy, yeah.
He got back healthy, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Just missed most of the year. But I want a young guy. I'm always going to be a draft first guy because you look at a lot of teams that win.
Because then that's long-term
yeah.
viability with these players.
But it's also it's cheap contracts, young guys. Many of them have not kind of had to experience the wear and tear of the NFL either, so there's that added bonus. But you know, looking again like at this offseason, it seems perfectly suited for the Bills to make a lot of moves and to get into a good position, even at like running back. If James Cook is really going to be something here that we're going
to have, if we have a situation to watch
about.
Out, yeah, if yeah. we got a situation to watch out for, yeah, looking at running back in day two, like they usually do, is something to keep your eye on.
It all of a sudden becomes very, very advantageous for the Bills to maybe go into a fourth, fifth round and grab a running back. We'll see. It's just I like this offseason a lot, but we were talking, you know, kind of in a little bit of show prep today too. You're more on the idea. I'm not saying that you think it's going to happen, but you're much more on
I'm steeled on the resolve yeah. that Myles Garrett to the Bills makes too much sense for it to not
mm-hmm.
happen.
Where I am much more sort of resigning myself to the idea of, number one, I think they have more needs that, well, I think Garrett's going to kind of cover a few of them.
That's the thing.
I don't think he fills a lot of them, and to my point with the draft and maybe this offseason as a whole, I think there's so many opportunities for the Bills to cover all those needs with the cheap labor and kind of build from within, which they do tend to like to do.
You've more or less kind of resigned yourself to the fact that like there's other teams out there
yeah,
that
I think
are gonna
Washington's
want him,
gonna get him.
That you think someone else is gonna get him, and it's not realistic. Not that it's not realistic, it's just you're losing hope, so to say, that Garrett won't happen. And I'm over here saying they have assets though.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes too much sense. Which again leads me back to, I want a boring first two rounds of the draft. I want at least two of those first three picks to be used on, in some way, defensive line. Either it costs you a first, a second, and another pick next year to get Garrett, or you use two of those picks on defensive linemen, like an edge rusher and a D-tackle. Beef Wagon.
It's going to be a fun offseason for this, because I think there's a lot of spots that the Bills can go, and I don't think a lot of them would be bad ideas. And I think, you know, Nate even brought up, too, one of the mock drafts that came out, Daniel Jeremiah's.
Yes.
And he had the Bills taking Matthew Golden
out of Texas, yeah.
Purely out of value, that they could go, you know, defensive tackle, what have you, but purely out of value, Matthew Golden made sense. And Nate was like, yeah, not a shot with the safety out of Georgia, Malachi Starks.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, they really can go, you know, cornerback, safety,
there's a
defensive
lot of ways
tackle,
they can go.
Edge rusher. But it's all defense. And that's, I know this time last year, we were all having a similar conversation of they've gone defense too much. It's the offense's turn. But you do look at the last three drafts or so, it's been a lot of offense.
And here's the interesting part of it. Like, yeah, like the wide receiver trade and everything like that last year. You also look at it based on what has happened last
mm-hmm.
as well. And the wide receiver trade, what had happened last? Stephon Diggs had gotten traded. As of right now, what has happened last with the Bills? They let the Chiefs score the most points they ever had all year.
And that was a continued theme of really a lot of their playoff losses.
But also in a season where Buffalo gave up 40 points twice.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen to them.
Nope.
Fix it. That is what has happened last. So That is something that's kind of laying in my head of, yeah, no, if I see a wide receiver taken in round one, I'm going to shrug my shoulders, but like not be thrilled.
I think the value would have to make...
It would have to make sense. More or less, I would just be like, okay, so we're not planning on stopping anyone.
Yeah, we are just planning on trying to outscore everybody. Well, but it would be one of those things like,
this will be great for my heart.
But let's say out of nowhere, because the defensive tackle and the edge rusher class is so good that, you know, one receiver is taken and like Luther Burden out of Missouri is there at 30.
Yeah.
It would be one of those like value-wise, okay, this kind of makes sense.
It makes sense. And again, I'll nod my head and go, okay. So, EKG charts for the win probability. That sounds good.
Yep. That's where we're going to be.
It can up, down, up, down.
It can be fun, just not, you know, healthy.
It's going to be fun. We're just all going to stress a lot.
Looking, though, at even the free agency class, I think this is all going to kind of come down to the draft where you really feel something. I think there's a really good chance the Bills do something at cornerback or safety in free agency, get guys that are veterans they can bring in right away. With the cornerbacks, work with Christian Benford, safeties, kind of ease Cole Bishop into potentially a starting role. I think that's where they would go in free agency. I mentioned it yesterday. I think that might be the only time they really get involved in free agency is those two positions.
Especially because of the fact that you're looking at this group right now and you're thinking, yeah, you do need a new corner opposite of Benford. And honestly, you do need an upgrade at safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Taylor Rapp has served what he has been capable of doing. But I want an upgrade between him or Cole Bishop for next year, an immediate impact kind of guy, and someone that could play with a little bit more range than either of them can provide you. And this past year, you had three players with similar skill sets, physical, safeties, and not too much when it comes to ranging abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone that could be a bit of a ball hawk out there in the back end. Because that would fix the Bills in a lot of situations, I think, having that kind of player again. With Micah Hyde, you had one of the best defenses in the league. Jordan Poyer could fill the role if Hyde wasn't there back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But Poyer was also, between the two of them, the thumper of the two.
Yeah.
Hyde was the ball hawk. Hyde was the back guy. He was the one playing outside of the box at all times. Get me that guy again.
I don't necessarily know if he fits this mold, but in terms of age-wise, I think he's fascinating, is Andre Sisco out of Jacksonville. Going to be 25.
Yeah.
And that could be a guy that the Bills could look at and go, we can mold him. He's got the NFL experience.
I think the Bills thought that with Taylor Rapp as well, though.
I think so.
So give me a guy that has that skill set already. And so I don't need a mold.
So you're bringing in, quote-unquote, a guy like a Justin Reed, where he's been there, done that, very good.
Very good.
And maybe just kind of gets priced out of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills can...
Well, priced out of Kansas City might also mean priced out of Buffalo.
Right. So that's...
There's your downside.
That's my thing, is I think you might have to go more towards the molding of a guy because, well, you don't have a ton of cap space.
No, you don't have a ton of cap space. But safeties also are not what I would call the biggest breaking of banks.
Nope, that's right.
That's the good news of it. With how to treat it, though, of making sure you get a little bit of a veteran presence within your secondary as well, making sure that there are guys that are more comfortable playing in man coverage. I don't need to see DeMar, like the likes of a DeMar Hamlin, for example, playing man coverage against someone, because I know it's not going to end particularly well. That's okay. It's a box safety. That'll happen. Taylor Rapp, same thing. Box safety. He has a little bit more of that range ability, but like it's kind of there at this point. He shows it that he's a thumper. He's a guy that's going to bring the physicality on you guys, and he'll do it from the back end. Cole Bishop, I don't know what to necessarily think of him yet.
Yeah.
But I need someone that has a different skill set that can prove it to me that he can do something different at safety.
Mm-hmm.
And at corner, we saw it. Last year, they were calling more man coverage than they ever have with this iteration of the Bills. If you're going to switch to that transition, give me someone that can play nasty up front with you. Get hands on. Not draw a holding penalty every time.
Yep.
God, I wanted Kyrie Elam to work here. I really did.
It's showing you, though, how much that being a miss has hurt you. Because let's say Kyrie Elam is a solid cornerback. And I'm not saying he has to be a boom pick in the first round, but a damn good player that you're like, yeah, it's not a miss, but it's not. Greg Rousseau as a cornerback, where it's like, yeah, it's a good pick. It's not terrible. And then you have Christian Benford where the value is incredible.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, any cornerback worries they had,
we wouldn't be talking about it.
We would, yeah, it would be a position that's a non-factor. Honestly, you don't even probably trade for Rasul Douglas.
No, you wouldn't have.
So we're sitting here probably thinking fifth, sixth round. Yeah, go add talent. I mean, go add like depth. You know, Taron Johnson's getting a little bit up there in age. Do you want to maybe add more of a nickel corner? All of a sudden, it's not an issue at all.
Yeah.
But now, because Elam has been such a miss for the Bills, it's becoming an issue. It's kind of the same thing. We were talking a lot with the defensive line, where it's like Epinesa and Groot are okay, but you need to get better because in the biggest moments.
You cannot have a Basham pick again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Basham pick also was a big miss because, man, you look. It's tough because I'm going to be somebody that's banging the drum for the draft. But looking at the Bills' first and second rounds of the last few
looking at their track record drafting defensive linemen is that problem. And that's why, going back to the Garrett thing, it makes too much sense for me. Because, ready? Say the Bills take a first-rounder, a second-rounder at defensive line, kind of like the Rams did. You know, DN first round, D-tackle second round. You want them to make immediate impacts, but it is an if. If they're able to handle the rookie curve quickly, if they are able to make immediate impacts, yes, you get two for the price of one. Absolutely.
Yep.
With Myles Garrett, I don't have to ask if. With Trey Hendrickson, I don't have to ask if.
No, and it's and
with
that,
Max Crosby, yeah. I don't have to ask if.
That's their biggest bonus, is you know coming in, you're going to be top 10 in pressure rates, top 10 in QB hits, probably top 10 in sacks, and for guys like Garrett, top 5 in all of those, Crosby, top 5 in all of those. And that immediately, and it's the thing, it covers up a lot of your warts.
Yes.
My thinking, though, is I want elite players at all levels of the defense because I really haven't been able to see what McDermott and now Babbage can do with a lot of elite players. You've had like one or two in sporadic moments.
McDermott, I think, got the most when it came to elite players on multiple levels. If you look several years back, probably 2021, 2022, you had players like this. You had Micah Hyde at the back end. Tre'Davious White, before he was injured, was an emerging superstar. Matt Milano was. What wasn't there?
It was the pass rush.
It was the defensive line and the pass rush. Give me that. I have not had a star player up front.
For longer than 10 games.
For longer than 10 games. Because again, the idea of Von Miller, I'm sold that Brandon Bean is not afraid to do it again. Why? Because the Bills have not had the sustained pass rush through an entire season since Mario Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me that guy who commands the attention and beats it anyway. Myles Garrett comes to Buffalo. How many sacks are you chalking up for him on a down year?
And we were talking about this, what, like 12 and a half? 12 and a half's a down year?
On a down year, I'd be predicting 12. That's already better than most years.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be the one getting the attention, which means you're freeing up others for one-for-ones. You're freeing up Ed Oliver to have someone one-on-one with him on the interior. Look out.
It's just, I
that's where I think it's...
The big thing for me,
that's
though,
where it makes too much sense.
It does. I can't bank now an off-season off that.
You're not necessarily worried about it doesn't make sense. You're just worried about I'm just having my hope on the idea dying inside a little.
Well, because it'll be something like, let's say he doesn't get moved by April.
Right.
You know, now all of a sudden, are we having kind of the same conversation we were last year where it was trade up in the draft to go get a wide receiver? Is it all of a sudden we all build ourselves up too much for a move that the potential is not
the potential
high? Or the percentage is not high to actually land him. I think Cleveland will trade him because he's going to kind of put them in a can't-win situation. But there's also a chance that, I mean, there were reports this weekend they might offer him a massive contract to get this done, to keep him there, to keep him happy. Maybe they do add a quarterback and all of a sudden he's good. You know, let's say they draft a Shedeur Sanders and all of a sudden Myles Garrett is fine and rescinds his trade request because it's like, well, okay, you have a quarterback I can believe in.
You don't win four games with just a quarterback problem.
No, but they did make the playoffs the year prior because of a wonder run by Flacco. I don't think they're that far off. I think the Watson stuff is a real problem. They have issues, don't get me wrong.
The thing is
I think Watson is a
cancer on that organization that they seemingly can't get away from. When he was injured and away and they just went to Flacco, it worked. You even saw when they went to Winston outside of some of his picks. There is talent there. They can kind of figure it out. They're not great, but they can figure it out. But and if they add a Shedeur Sanders, and he is a Bo Nix player.
Remember the timeline, though. Garrett wanted to meet with the Browns brass, and then he did say, whatever happens in that meeting is going to dictate my future. And immediately he is now starting to ask for a trade. Something tells me that the meeting said, no, Deshaun Watson's going to be here next year. What do you mean? I'm out. That's what that tells me. That's what that tells me. Or we cannot recover from this financial issue with Watson's contract for like 2 years.
And so, yeah, when you're 31, we'll start figuring it out.
We'll finally start figuring it out 2 years later when you're 31. No thanks. I'm done. Get me out of here. And again, I'm just talking about something that makes sense. Like you said, I should probably be careful on kind of trying to overhype it up. Mostly because of the fact that like there is still a low percentage of it happening. That said, that's why Garrett is still only the face of the idea. That's why Max Crosby's name should be included. That's why Trey Hendrickson's name should be included. That's why even Micah Parsons, in case Jerry Jones is on bath salts, throw his name in there. Because of the fact that Garrett's face is the representation of the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Buffalo should do this in one way or another. Get an established pass rusher in here so I don't have to ask about if. I know production is going to be coming.
It's just, it's for me, I think as well, there's too many other holes. I think it's something, yeah, the pass rusher will be great, but who's your second cornerback? You know, we're still talking about safety. And if Cole Bishop isn't a home run or even just a good player, which, let's be honest, he hasn't necessarily shown that he needs to be starting, all of a sudden you get one pass rusher and it's like, if he's not having an amazing game, which can happen even to the best of players, although Myles Garrett's record against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is actually quite good, then you're in a bad spot. Then it becomes very quickly Max Crosby on the Raiders and Myles Garrett on the Browns where, man, they're awesome. Yeah, the defense has a lot to be desired. And even Cleveland, though, on their defense has guys like Denzel Ward who are really, really good. And that's my fear is that we zero in too much on this one player when the defense as a whole, I think, has a lot of issues. And they showed last year they couldn't get off the field on third down. The run, stopping the run was rough at times.
Yes.
Even stopping the pass was really down from years past. And I think that's a lot to do to the zone scheme, which they ultimately have begun to move away from and really – Rasul Douglas, age started to hit him, and Benford was kind of your only reliable cornerback. Teron Johnson was dealing with a lot of injuries last year.
And the fact that they called more man, and Douglas is a zone dominant corner.
Yes. And it's just, for me, there is so many other needs on the defense. And why I'm excited for this draft is I think they can handle it. They can do it. They can add some guys in free agency and such, and it can work out. But adding a Myles Garrett, I think for me, I'd be really excited for a month or two. And then I'd look at the Bills' defensive roster likely after a trade like that and go, man, he better put up a defensive player of the year kind of year, which he is more than capable of doing. But even then, it might not be enough. Where I like the idea of, let's say, just for argument's sake, they add a Kenneth Grant, and then they add one of these edge rushers in the second round. They add a safety in the fourth, and they even had free agency to play. And it's like, okay, I can get around a lot of these guys. I can grab onto a number of different threads where this one is Myles Garrett better be awesome.
Yes, but at the same time, let's not act like the Bills were like a 25th or lower ranked defense.
They were in some categories.
But they were mostly middle of the pack at the end of the day. I'm not necessarily going to worry too much about it in that case because an impact player, no matter where it is on the field, changes some of this. If they were like a trash defense and there was only one good player on it or one elite player, that's a different story. But they do have Terrell Bernard. They do have Christian Benford. They have guys at the other levels that there is something there. Ed Oliver is a good player. Greg Rousseau is a good player, even though like he could be included in such a trade. They just don't have someone that will steal you a game kind of player on the defensive side. I think that's all that's missing. Because of the fact that they have a collection of good players. It's not like they are a 30th ranked defense. There's something there. That's where I think, again, that's where it makes sense to me. That's where, I guess, hope is injected in. And like I said yesterday, I'm not going to die on the hill. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But get me on the beef wagon. Mm-hmm. Use two of these three picks in the first and second round. I want two of your first three picks to be on defensive line. And it could be in a smattering of ways. It could be grabbing two young guys. It could be grabbing a Garrett or a Hendrickson or a Crosby.
Yeah, I think that's where we both do agree.
That is where we ultimately agree, and I kind of wanted to close the conversation on that.
It is defense and defense and more defense with like a smidge of wide receiver maybe.
Give me beef.
We'll see. The combine, again, is next week, although the actual testing does not begin until later in the week on Thursday, but we will have a lot of interviews, player interviews. Head coach Sean McDermott expected to meet with the media on Monday at 4. We'll carry that live right here on WGR. Weirdly enough, though, it hasn't been that long since we've heard them talk, and that's been the one positive thing of you know, this era of the Bills. Well, no, they have not won a Super Bowl yet. It's not like we're sitting here in November going like, all right, who are the draft prospects? Let's gear up. Let's ready to end draft season is 6 months. It's like, for us, it's about 2.5, maybe.
Oh, man, yeah, I don't miss that at all.
You know, realistically, it's about 2.5 months. We're not sitting here watching, you know, rivalry weekend going, oh, this is my seventh game watching Cam Newton
play. Ready? There's something very real. The quarterback club.
Mm-hmm.
The text line that we had for that, and I was writing articles of the quarterback power rankings every week.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's sending out a text of, hey, here's who these guys are playing against. Take a look at them all. I'm watching these games as much as I can, and I'm shuffling them in the power rankings.
Yep,
we don't have to,
so
while a Bills season is going on.
Yes, yeah, so glad that is done. Because you look at this year's draft.
And that team even made the playoffs.
You look at this year's draft, though. I mean, could you imagine being a quarterback needy team with this draft class, and even honestly this free agent class? The last two games of Sam Darnold.
And yet, considering everything you just said, I'm still fascinated by how aggressive teams might be in the top 5 or top 10
Jackson Dart,
to
baby.
Get a quarterback just because last year was something so unprecedented.
Yeah.
That it tells you that teams are just, quite frankly, overly excited to get one.
Because you're just nowhere if you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
You're just absolutely nowhere. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking draft prospects, where do you want to see the Bills go? Are you still on the offensive side of things wanting to see the Bills add a wide receiver very early in the draft? Could be a guy like a Matthew Golden out of Texas. Daniel Jeremiah had him going in to the Bills in yesterday's mock draft. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got more news today in the NFL in terms of the 2025 International Games.
Ooh.
Chargers week one, going to be the second team ever to be the home team of a Brazil game. Last year was, I believe, the Eagles were the home team.
Yes.
And they took on the Green Bay Packers. This year it's going to be the Chargers at Corinthians Arena. That'll be exciting. There's a lot of international games now. There's a lot of them. Just in the 2025 window alone, mentioned Chargers in Brazil, Jets and Browns are both going to have one game at London or in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Jaguars in London at Wembley Stadium. Colts are in Berlin. Dolphins in Madrid. Steelers in Dublin. And then, of course, next year we're going to have the Rams against somebody in Australia, in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of international games. It's a lot.
There is a lot. And I'm going to wonder, at what point does it become too much?
I think for a lot of people, it's going to be the 2 a.m. start for the Australia game.
No, the thing is, they're going to find a way that it's not going to be a 2 a.m. start.
Which is going to upset me. Which I'll, yes. I'll be like the one person who was like, you cowards. You cowards.
Yeah, no, if they start a football game, the NFL starts a football game at 2 a.m., then we have jumped the shark.
I want that so bad.
I know you want it so bad.
You're right. It would be a jump the shark moment. I don't care.
You know what? That's an NHL decision.
Yeah, it would be.
That is a peak NHL decision. There's no way that the NFL starts a game at 2 a.m. unless they go with the Sunday Funday Super Bender.
Man, I want it so bad. I want it to. Yeah, that would probably have.
That's the only way you do it.
The way you do it.
The only way you do it.
I'm a Formula One fan, so I'm like, yeah, I've done this before.
But you're asking the average NFL fan.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm the only person that would want this. You'd be upset that they don't do it.
I'm just now trying to think of the logistics of it. How do you end up doing it?
They're horrendous. Yeah, the logistics are terrible.
But, like, what? Like, do you do, like, a 24-hour absolute chaos, throw-it-at-the-wall idea of, like, you have a Sunday where it starts in London, and then you go all the way through your normal slate, and then after Sunday night football, going into Monday morning, there is a 2 a.m. football game?
See, that's where it's a miss. It's going into Monday. Yes. I like the idea of the NFL just like
or
dominating a 24-hour block.
Or you start with the 2 a.m. game.
Yeah.
Then go to London. And then you do your normal slate all the
way through.
And
you wrap up with Monday Night Football. Nope, I'm in. I've now.
There's no way.
We've talked ourselves
I just thought about it.
No. We've talked ourselves into
no,
it.
No, I talked you into it.
That's fine.
No.
I'm in.
I'm telling you right now, that makes me sick. I am not that much of a degenerate that I'm watching football. I'm already watching football all day if there's a London game.
You say that now, but the week leading up, you'll be like, let's see if we can do this. Like, let's have some fun with the idea of like 24-hour span of
and then
football.
By 4 let's o'clock, go, I'm taking a napper.
The problem is, too, you're also going to have like it. I mean, it's going to be like normal NFL slates where you're going to have a window there. Like, the game will go from 2 a.m. to like 5, maybe 6.
Yeah.
What time does a London game usually start? 9?
Yeah.
So you've got – there's too much of a window there where nothing's going on.
And now you killed your own dream.
Yeah. There's too much of a window there. And if the game starts at midnight, let's say, because that's when the Australian Grand Prix typically starts in the Eastern time zone, that's way too much of a block of like, okay, now we've got like 5 hours before the next game.
Yeah.
And it's already early for a lot of people. Do we just play 5 hours of highlights from what likely would be a terrible game? This is, again, 26.
Yeah, no, like this is the only – like that's the only way trying to figure out of how they would start a game at 2 a.m.
Damn. I was there and I'm out.
Your dream is
all
dead.
All in like 3 minutes. That's tough.
And it was me of all people that talked logic
into
it.
That's tough. It'd be so much fun though. For like 5 minutes, it'd be a ton of fun.
No, none of that sounds fun. None of that sounds like a good time. That might be me just being older now, but like none of that sounds like fun to me.
See, I could see myself.
Like I would have been
the day the schedule's coming out, waiting for the official announcements.
Ready? Think about this. If we were working that game, how pissed would you be?
Oh, see, yeah, you're thinking I'd be upset. That's an event again.
No.
And I'm there. I'm happy. I'm stoked.
No.
Let's go. Absolutely.
There's something wrong with you.
We were going to do Sports Thunder if the Bills made the Super Bowl.
That's different. You know that there's energy behind that.
No, it'd be like, it's 2 a.m. game.
No, no,
let's ride.
Sports Thunder is a vibe. Strictly. That's why we don't do it that much. That's why we haven't done one since 2019.
We would do this one time. It'd be an event. And then you would go home at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
I would puke.
And you get out of there.
We're not done at 4 or 5 in the morning then.
Well, I'm saying like midnight. If it's midnight, 4 or 5 in the morning, 2 a.m., you're like home 6, 7, you go to bed. You wake up for the 1 o'clock window. No issues. You have a few energy drinks, a few cup of coffees beforehand,
no.
Get ready to ride.
Oh my God.
And you're having a blast.
No, I'm not having a blast. None of us are. Only you are having a blast.
Well, I'll carry the group then. I'll come in with a lot of high vibes, and it'll be great. Everyone else will be there like 11:30 getting ready
for
hell.
You're right. It is only you that wants
this. And I'll come in at midnight. She's like, all right, boys. Here we go. Let's go. Bills, Rams.
And you would just get multiple birds sent in your direction.
I'd get a lot of HR complaints. Just like all the emails, be like Zach's a real toxic work environment.
Zach made me want to cry because he's excited about a 2 a.m. football game.
I'd be so into it. I really would.
I would match your energy with toxic pessimism to where I'm also getting HR complaints.
The Bills, though, are going to play an international game this year, right? They have the reigning MVP. They're great for ratings.
They are great for ratings. They are kind of like an immediate boon. As a matter of fact, the CBS crew was on site for two Bills games this year.
Yeah, they're 100% playing.
They're getting an international game probably this year. So, ready? Here I was disgusted about the opportunity of a 2 a.m. game. Well, guess what? We are going to have to deal with the early start 9 a.m. game, though.
They're not. They wouldn't do an AFC East game international, right? Like Dolphins are in Madrid. They wouldn't do that.
You think?
I'm saying it kind of as like a. I don't know, but like,
isn't that the only matchup within the division that has some sort of?
Yeah, because you're not doing Jets, Bills, London. Well, it's not like the London matchups are ever that great. It kind of feels like it's an attack on the British people.
And we're back. Yeah, it could be an unremarkable matchup.
Yeah.
So be ready for that. Yeah, especially because of the fact that wait. Now it kind of makes me think that the Bills aren't getting one.
Oh, really?
Because the matchups are unremarkable out there.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they will try to have like somewhat of a good team in there.
But it's the start of the season, international games that have the big ticket items. Typically, the other games that get sent to London are like typically Jags, Titans, Giants, or Panthers.
Right. Like, I mean, if you were doing like
what the hell are they?
If you were doing a divisional game, like Week One Chargers in Brazil, you could totally see the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You could totally see the Chiefs just because they're like, let's like make this a marquee one, the whole thing.
I'm still disgusted at the 2 a.m. idea.
I don't know why. Come on.
I will throw up.
It's an event, baby.
I will throw up.
I feel like, but in all seriousness, I feel like I'm the only one that would be excited for that. Because like everyone has to do post-game would be like, seriously?
Having to do pregame.
Pregame. Yeah, what time would pregame start for a 2 a.m. game?
As someone that, probably like 11.
Yeah.
11 p.m. pregame. That sounds normal.
That's tough.
Someone
I don't have to do that.
Signed, someone who does pregame.
I don't have to do that.
And sometimes I also do post-game.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's
probably why I hate it more.
You've had full days where I'm like, I do the game and post-game,
like,
and I leave.
Nate and I would glare at you with daggers.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm the only one showing up. Everyone would conveniently have plans at 2 in the morning.
Conveniently have. Yeah, the plan is sleep.
At 2 in the morning.
You jackass.
Yes. Email to our boss. I gotta have off. Why? That's the middle of my bedtime.
That's called bedtime.
That is the middle of my bedtime. I do like some of the locations though. Berlin's awesome.
I think
it's great.
Australia is fascinating to me though. Like the idea of going there is fascinating. They're gonna start it at a normal time. I'm killing your dream.
Cowards.
They are. Let them be. I'm a coward. I want to be in my bed at 2 a.m. not watching football. That throws off your whole sleep schedule.
For like a day.
No.
For a day. I'm still in my 20s. I'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Fine. I'll be fine.
That's the problem.
It won't be that bad.
We're not all 20.
Well, the ratings for that game would be disastrous. Like, I'll be there. The ratings would be a nightmare.
All right,
for
now,
all the positive the NHL is having with the Four Nations and U.S. Canada. The ratings would come out like Wednesday, and they're like, yeah, the Australia game, the first big miss by the NFL in 30 years.
No. Now you've actually talked me into it because now I want to see those numbers.
All of a sudden, Roger Goodell has to have a press conference. We're talking about if he's going to be fired. Oh, my goodness.
Now I would want to see how many sickos would watch that game.
It's like 15 of us. Dozens.
There are dozens of us. Dozens.
I will lead that charge. See, I say I'll lead that charge, but if I'm not working the game, I'm out by like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, you better be a barn burner or I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're not doing it, which is the frustrating part. Oh.
Cowards.
I do. But I want the Bills to have an international game because I like the eyeballs on the Bills.
Yes. It's fun having a team that people flock to watch.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like the early, I would even say like the majority of those London games, which always felt like why are you putting these teams there?
Yeah.
Like Jacksonville, outside of like who their owner is.
The EJ Manuel game, Buffalo-Jacksonville. Yeah. Why are we here?
Yeah, again, that felt like we're punishing the British people.
Yeah.
Like when they have...
And
like
that game was a punishment on eyeballs.
When they have like international friendlies, they don't send like West Ham and Norwich City, and they're like, yeah, this is the best we can offer. Love our sport.
I totally know what you're talking
about.
They're
like, here's Man City and Liverpool at the peak of their powers. Enjoy. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. and the NFL was like, here's Jacksonville with Blake Bortles and the Bills with EJ Manuel. Enjoy.
Oh, do you like those ugly helmets? We're going to send you more of that team.
I just remember the stat forever. Kyle Pitts, like in 2 years, had one touchdown. It wasn't even on like...
American
U.S. soil, which is amazing. Oh,
I want at least Madrid. They get to see something rare.
I want Madrid, especially because the Dolphins can't even fill out their own stadium. Let's go to Madrid. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Damn.
Let's do it.
Taking shots.
That's what I want.
Love
That's what I want. They can come to Buffalo. We fill out the stadium. We're going to go to Madrid because you guys can't. That's the rule.
Whew.
That's the rule. I like it.
And then we never have to hear any complaints about the sun.
It's hot in Spain. It's hot. A little toasty.
But at the same time, are they gaming the construction of their sidelines?
No.
Which, again, Miami, you have that right.
Do we know what stadium the Madrid game's in?
No. At least I don't know it offhand. And while you look that up, I will go ahead and say yes. More or less, getting back to the appreciating of the fact that the Bills are a very marketable team. It is nice. Are there a plenty of people that, you know, miss the usual 1 o'clock slate every single week for the majority of two decades?
Right. It's not surprising. It's the Bernabeu. It's Real Madrid's home stadium.
That's fair.
So that makes sense. It was either them or Atletico, yeah. And well, for being honest.
I do like the fact that the Bills are in constantly different time slots because of the fact that they are marketable. They are good enough that other people appreciate them. We don't have to keep this team all to ourselves. And I know that this region is a very proud region. But we should be willing to share the Bills with any and all newcomers that want to watch them. If someone says, 15 years down the road, I became a Bills fan because of Josh Allen, that's cool.
Especially, if you're not from Buffalo.
Yeah, if you're not from Buffalo and you just started getting into the Bills,
yeah,
like you've had a downtrodden team and you're like, I actually like the Bills because I'm watching them enough now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really good thing. It should be something that you want to hear more about from people. Is I became a Bills fan because they were on my TV, because Josh Allen is slapped on there on the screen with Paramount Plus.
Yeah. And now that he's won the MVP,
he's going to be slapped up on screens.
He's even more marketable. Yeah. And they were already a team that got a lot of eyeballs. You mentioned
Josh Allen's hanging out with Peppa Pig.
Yeah. That's right. But we had like full crews coming to do games for the Bills twice this year. And, you know,
even the atrocity of when ESPN came here and like the Applebee's boneless wings thing.
Oh, yeah.
They still show up to Buffalo.
It would just be nice. We just need a few more star players on this team. I know. 803-0550.
Played right into my trap card.
803-0550, the number two call. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network coming up in just about 15 minutes. Talk more on this year's draft in a potential scenario in which they do not land one of these elite edge rushers with their first two picks. For trading purposes, we'll talk to Ryan, get more on this year's draft with the combine starting next week. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. We got some Four Nations news from the other day. Charlie McAvoy, we do know, is going to be out for Thursday, and the Bruins did release a number of statements from yesterday and then into today, more on his health. He's out, of course, for Thursday. Does seem to be a little bit more long-term due to an infection McAvoy got in an upper body injury he suffered.
Yeah, what's with the illnesses and the infections,
yeah,
by the way?
Not great. Not great.
Weirdest thing of the tournament.
Yeah, on that, the U.S. has, I'm gonna use quotes here, called up Quinn Hughes. Although he has not made the trip to Boston.
That is ultimately like the air quotes called up.
Yeah, he has not made the trip to Boston unless basically he is assured he's going to play.
If he's not making the trip by now, he's not in.
Yeah, he's not in. So a lot of the fun ideas of, Quinn Hughes going to be on the U.S., right? It's not happening. And if it does, it's very much the 11th hour kind of deal. Still excited for tomorrow, though, especially it sounds like both Tkachuk brothers are going to play. Auston Matthews seems good. Really, it's McAvoy that seems to be the only guy that's going to be out. A little frustrated, though. No Quinn Hughes.
You can be frustrated for it, but at the same time, wasn't it something injury related that kept him out in the first place?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that
doesn't
surprise
me. Battling injuries.
So, no, that's not all that surprising. You had to deal with him not being here in the first place. Might as well finish the whole thing like that.
It's more selfishly. I just want like the best players and the most fun players to be playing.
Yes.
And he is one of them.
But Canada's dealing with two injuries there. Cale Makar didn't play in the last game.
Yep.
I'm not all that surprised. You know, like, injuries happen. It is hockey, after all.
Yeah, I mean, this tournament has been physical. That and that's the thing, too. It maybe the one positive part of, like, the Sabres not having a ton of players in this. Like, if they were in a playoff spot and they had a ton of players in this, it's been a lot
You'd
of guys
sweating
getting
bullets.
Beat up. Yeah, there's been a lot of guys beat up and you know, battling through
a
stuff.
A lot of Florida fans are probably sweating bullets right now.
Yeah.
Because they've got players in prominent positions on the team tomorrow night. You got Tkachuk, you got Bennett, you got Reinhardt.
Yeah.
You had Barkov in it. You had Forsling.
Mm-hmm. They've had a number of guys, and it's you're especially, you know, Matthew Tkachuk.
I was talking to Joe Kelly on Monday about the lack of star power that the Sabres have, and you look at all the rosters. Yeah, if you were in a playoff spot or even in contention and you had even an extra player or two in there,
right,
like a Tage Thompson for another match with Canada. And how physical it was. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you probably weren't loving this as much as maybe the average hockey fan, which is just like, this is so cool.
Yep.
You're more thinking, end.
Yes.
Please end.
Yes. And it's so, but that said, I think that it is great, though, that it was the perfect appetizer to international play.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Should be a blast. Can't wait. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get more on this year's draft is coming up next. Ryan Fowler.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Of the Draft Networks joins us. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Expo Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. And today's show is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are diving headfirst into the NFL offseason. The franchise tag window opened up yesterday. The NFL Combine starts next week.
I'm thinking of, like, those silly videos of, like, people jumping onto, like, ice lakes and, like, just, like...
Oh, and forgetting that it was, in fact, winter and that might be ice.
And it's like, solid. That's how we're diving in headfirst right now. Because it is that cold out.
It's so cold. It is so cold. What did Jeremy say it was this morning? Like, it felt like minus one.
Real field minus one.
Oh, that is not great.
We're gonna actually went down when I walked into the building.
Oh, did it? Oh, boy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let's go now to the Wester Hotline, where hopefully he's dealing with more warm weather. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. Ryan, man, great to talk to you. You're not dealing with Arctic weather, correct?
Hey, Philadelphia is not that much warmer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There we go.
All right. Buffalo.
Yeah, all right, we're all battling through it. I was hoping you'd be like, oh, man, I'm in Florida, dude. It's 70. Like, I'd live vicariously through you then, but in Philadelphia, yeah, no.
I cold. Would.
Did you go to the parade for the Eagles, by the way, or did you kind of avoid that?
No. I'm from the DMV. Usually I'm a Commanders guy, okay. Being gold and blood. So I stayed far away from that guy.
No, that's good for you. Although the Commanders now, with Daniels and everything going on there, that must be just so much fun.
It is. It really is. Finally, right? Been 30-plus years since, they had a good quarterback in town. And RG3 was fun, right, for 1 year, but, mm-hmm. but Jaden definitely looks like a guy for the future, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Ryan Fowler here on the Wester Hotline of the Draft Network. And, Ryan, you came out a lot last year with our show in the afternoon, Show Up in the Bulldog, and really I wanted to connect with you again because the one guy seemingly no one was talking about with our wide receiver train going on here in Buffalo was Keon Coleman. He was sort of an afterthought, especially after – well, what's going to be next week's combine? And you came on, I think, with like a month left before the draft, and they're like, give us a name for a wide receiver. And you're like, how about Keon Coleman? And it turned out a month later, that was a guy that the Bills had been targeting. They ultimately go out and pick. And so from then on, I'm like, no, Ryan's my guy. He was there. He didn't go the normal route of maybe trade up or what have you. You went, kind of in a different way, and I loved it.
Yeah. Keon, look, first year, could you say sometimes where you want to see a little bit more for him? Yeah, I think coming even out of Florida State, for me personally, I wanted to see a little bit more. I think the potential with the young man is through the roof. And I think this year where you're heading in right now, where both Mac and Amari are free agents, he's going to be that bona fide wide receiver one and be that X for them moving into this year. But I think they will add maybe a Z receiver this year to complement Khalil and the tight end group as well. But Keon has all the potential in the world to be whatever he wants to be. It's just trying to fine-tune the finer portions of his game. And I just really like the kid. I'm glad he's landing in Buffalo. And hopefully he and Josh can really develop that connection here the next few years.
Let's start there then with wide receivers. It doesn't seem to be the biggest need for the Bills. We're gonna hammer home that defensive class, the edge rusher, the defensive tackle, cornerback, safeties, the whole thing. But starting with the wide receivers, Ryan, it seems like the top end of this class is not at all what it was last year, but at least from what I've seen, maybe the end of the first round, second, maybe third round, there does seem to be pretty good value to be had.
Yeah, there's a really good group of guys, and I will say this, there's some repetitive skill sets and some guys, the Jalen Noels, the Jalen Royals of the world, even a guy I really like in this class is Xavier Restrepo from Miami. He's not going to wow anybody with size. He's not going to go out and run 4.4 in the 40. But he's just going to be a fundamentally good football player for a long, long time, similarly to how I looked at Khalil Shakir coming out of Boise State. But I think when you look at what the Bills need right now, let's just say you enter this year right now, where you got Keon, you got Khalil, and Curtis Samuel as that rotational piece. If you really want that Z type of receiver to expand a playbook, I don't think you need to go there at the back end of round one, and I don't think you need to go there in round two. I look at round three, and there's one player specifically that I really like. And that's LaJonte Wester out of Colorado. And everybody, when they thought about the Buffaloes this year, it was Shadur, it was Travis Hunter. But LaJonte is a guy from a transfer from FAU. The explosiveness and the separation has always been just something that's been like an elite trait for me when watching LaJonte. And coming into an offense with the Bills where you're not asked to be a top two target in this offense, you're asked to be a playbook extender and also a guy that can be a multi-phase contributor on special teams. He's an electric football player that dominated in one-on-one scenarios down there at the Shrine Bowl, where I get it. It's usually set up for the offensive guys to succeed in that scenario. But just the separation, the hands, and the quickness are absolutely electric. And a lot of talk about Ted Johnson as far as the premier smaller guy in this class. But LaJonte Wester on day three, if he gets there, and if I'm Buffalo and I'm Brandon Bean looking at this thing, he's going to be a prioritization for me as far as a guy that can come in right away and be a guy that do a lot of different things for me in this offense.
One of the guys you mentioned there that I want to get your thoughts on because I really liked him at the Senior Bowl was Jalen Royals out of Utah State. He kind of seems to fit the bill that a lot of Bills fans are looking for the Bills to add, kind of a faster guy, not necessarily small, but he maybe that more traditional outside boundary wide receiver. What have you seen from him?
Extremely physical kid. You know, as a small school kid coming in from Utah State, you want to see how these guys look live. And he looked as NFL ready from a body profile perspective as anybody down there at the Senior Bowl, and the ways in which he won. You know, you mentioned he can play inside, he can play outside and profile there, but his release package was outstanding, and also he blew Jonathan Edwards from Tulane off the ball 5 yards when he wanted to press him at the line of scrimmage in one-on-one. So just saying, hey, look, I can beat you in so many different ways, and then also I'm dynamic after the catch, and I have excellent hands, and one thing about Jalen, he's going to block his tail off on the outside and be that further extension of the ground game. So, you know, if the Bills want to prioritize him in the back end of day one, if he's there, I wouldn't be shocked if he sneaks into the first round. There's some conversations here, really post-Senior Bowl, that have leaned towards that way. Just a fundamentally really good football player, and I think someone with his background as a basketball player, the fluidity in his lower half, just the quickness as well, he's going to be a really good ball player for somebody for a long time. And I think if you do profile him in Buffalo to be that 1-2 alongside Keon, you're going to have a really dynamic tandem for a long time.
When it comes down to it, Buffalo does have a lot of different directions that they can go here starting at pick 30, whether it comes to defensive line or getting some more help within the secondary as well. I'm looking at corner and safety here for the Bills in the first two rounds to try to get someone that might be more of an impact player for a team that started using a lot more man coverage than they have in years past. When it comes to corners or safeties, who are some of your favorites at the end of round one and into round two?
Yeah, I think Siobhan Revel from East Carolina is a name. You know, I wanted to see him stay healthy this year. You know, the ways in which we saw Quinyon Mitchell play at Toledo and dominate and then go to the Senior Bowl and solidify him as a day one pick. We didn't see that from Siobhan this year. So for me right now, Siobhan's going to be in that second round, late second round bucket, but he's a name to know that absolutely is high on scouts' boards. But two guys specifically in the second round, Quincy Riley from Louisville and Dorian Strong, both from Virginia Tech, two ACC guys. And the biggest thing with corners, can you play man and can you run flat out? And both those guys can do both. And I really enjoyed seeing them both in the ACC this year live and at the Senior Bowl where they just showed up, competed. And in a scenario where, again, I mentioned earlier, guys, where wide receivers are set up to win one-on-ones, these corners made it tough on the wide receivers all week long. So both those guys, Quincy Riley from Louisville, Dorian Strong from Virginia Tech, and as well another name, a longer kid, and Darian Porter from Iowa State had a lot of buzz as well, as another versatile inside-out type of defender that also is really impressive in the ground game. Three names specifically, early portions of round two, middle portions of round two.
And for the Bills especially now, there seems to be a little bit of a transition from them going from such a zone-dominant defense to maybe more man and how well they've been able to do getting later round cornerbacks, namely, of course, Christian Benford. He's really popped off for them. I could see that absolutely being something the Bills go for later. Ryan, maybe the meat and potatoes of this draft, I think for a lot of Bills fans as well, if they don't go and trade for a guy like Myles Garrett, is on the defensive line. And everything you hear about this draft class kind of from day one has been how deep and how talented, particularly this defensive tackle class is. I know for me personally, just from what I've seen, Mason Graham, I think, might be the best player of this draft class, albeit having not done a ton of homework on some of the other positions. What else have you seen from this defensive tackle class before we get into maybe specific guys?
Yeah, it is so deep, you know, and I think one thing, guys, about this draft class is, you know, you'll hear some people say it's not a great draft class. It's very top heavy. Well, if you're a scouting staff and you trust what you can do from looking at players in all 3 days, you're going to find contributors. all 3 days and even into the UDFA bucket, specifically along this defensive line, where really it is the deepest positional group along the interior and at edge. And when I look at Buffalo, you know, things that they've squished a little bit as far as their heavier type of edge rushers, to where you look at the Greg Rousseau's, you look at the A.J. Epinesa's, you know, they brought in Vaughn Miller as that 6'3", 245 type of twitchy edge rusher post that Super Bowl run for the Rams. There's some guys in this class, and I know we're going to get into it in a minute, but there's just a load of guys, specifically that day two, day three bucket, and in the interior, four, five, six names that I personally would have really in my top 60, 65 that may slip down to the fourth, fifth round potentially, just because, guys, how deep this class is at the position.
And I wonder if a guy, you know, Texas's Alfred Collins could maybe be somebody that slips just because, that's just defensive tackle. I mean, you also got the edge rusher guys. One name that's really popped out to me, Ryan, and has maybe become my first draft crush is Kenneth Grant. I think he looks to be him and Graham, as I mentioned, just look to be unbelievable. And something that, you know, for me, I'm a Texas fan, having watched Matthew Golden sort of really elevate his game and seemingly fly up draft boards once Isaiah Bond got hurt and then never really got on the same page with Ewers at Texas. Bond, of course, still kind of considered, you know, a round two guy, but it felt like after like the Michigan game, he may have been, you know, a lock for the first round. I wonder what Kenneth Grant maybe would have been seen as if Mason Graham wasn't next to him and taking, you know, quote unquote, all the headlines. Is that something you've seen, and how do you feel about Grant as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up Kenneth Grant. I know he spent a lot of time down there with the Bills at the Shrine Bowl. You know, Kenneth didn't compete, but he had a lot of meetings from what I was told with Buffalo. So those two parties spent a lot of time with each other down there in Frisco. But Kenneth, I agree 100%. You know, you take Mason Grant out of there and playing hypotheticals, the spotlight on him is sensational. You know, I remember tweeting out a clip back in 2023 playing Penn State where he tracked down Tayshaun Allen from 20 yards of depth at 340 pounds. You know, that's the type of athlete that you're getting, but also this isn't Mozzie Smith in that same bucket, right, to where you're coming out of Michigan, you're an athlete, but how can you marry that ability as a football player? And when you watch Kenneth, the ability to come in right now and stop the run, that's going to be there 100% to take on double teams too. But can you also rush the passer? Because coaches around the league say, hey, look, we can teach you to stop the run, but can you vertically push centers and guards on their backside and pressure the quarterback, as we saw in the Super Bowl with, of course, the Eagles and what they did to Patrick Mahomes. Now, I know that's a name that, you know, I don't want to mention too much here in Buffalo, but, you know, just as far as what Kenneth can do within the interior, be able to push and create pressure within the interior and force isolated matchups for your edge guys like Greg Rousseau moving forward and another guy probably going to add in this draft. I'm a big fan of Kenneth Grant. I don't think he gets out of the first round, even though there's been some prospect fatigue on the young man.
Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joining us here on the Western Hotline. Ryan, something that I've noticed the Bills do with draft trends almost every year, it seems like they try to find a way to snag a running back to keep rotating into the running back room year in and year out. Considering James Cook, his contract coming due at the end of next season, and the fact that he's looking for a pretty decent raise, makes me kind of suspect that the Bills might do this again. They took Ray Davis last year, and I do think that they're going to use a set, like a day two or a day three pick, probably fourth round is my idea that I think the Bills will go running back here. While I'm looking a little too rich in the blood for players like a Trayvon Henderson or Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, what are some running backs that the Bills do you think would be probably eyeing up here in the middle rounds or even into the fourth, fifth round of this draft class?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be interesting, guys, considering because you look at James Cook's body type and the way he competes, and he's a very, very different type of ball carrier than what Ray Davis is that more of that bulking ball carrier. Now, if they go towards the Ray Davis type on day three, you're looking at guys like Phil Maffa from Clemson, who dealt with an injury this year, but had a lot of good conversations with scouts on him as far as, you know, they like the potential of him inside an RB workload as RB2 or an RB3, or are you going to go more of that James Cook type of role with a DJ Giddens from the Kansas State, or even a guy I really like in this class, and that's Woody Marks from USC, you know, transfer from Mississippi State, experienced in two different conferences, really productive kid that also, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit as far as his ability to work inside the tackles and the vision that he has, but right away he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the field on third downs, and you've seen what a guy like Ty Johnson has had over the last 2 years for Buffalo. So I look at Woody Marks in that bucket and Phil Maffa specifically, two different body types that really you can parallel like a guy like James Cook or a guy like Ray Davis.
maybe not for the Bills, but I've always been curious now about Cam Scataboo and what he is going to be for NFL teams. I mean, he kind of plays the game like an old school football player that I know a lot of old school coaches would probably love, but I have not seen him get necessarily the love of, you know, a first or second round guy. And it seems to be correct. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, there's some limitations in Cam's game. You know, you mentioned and you hit it on the nail as far as he is, you know, you could put Cam Scataboo in the 1960s and he fits right in. Put a leather helmet on him and he's going to run through people's chests. And I love the way he plays behind his pads, the physicality pops. He was really everything, of course, you know, for that Sun Devils offense this year, both on the ground and in space. But there are limitations, you know, working against front seven defenders at the NFL that are quicker, that are fast, that are also strong and can tackle their backsides off. I don't see him right away being an RB1 for a team where he has 25-plus touches in a game. Now, could he be an RB2 for somebody? I think that's his bucket right now, and I think that pushes him into that third round, maybe early day three type of bucket in this class to where it seems like every single week there's a guy that maybe jumps up in the class, and now as we're heading into Indy here in the next few days, you know, you're going to see guys run 4.4, 4.5. Cam Scataboo may run low 4.7s in that bucket. And just for teams, there are certain thresholds, kind of with the Bills like length at edge, that you have to meet for them to put you on the board. So I like Cam Scataboo as a fundamental football player, as a throwback type of guy. He's going to be able to expand a playbook. If I'm in a room and I see my team draft Cam Scataboo, I'm going to be kind of PO'd because he's someone that's going to steal snaps from me because of the way he competes his backside off every single snap. But there are limitations in his game that have to be provided for context with him because he's not going to be an RB1 dynamic top 10 running back in football right away.
Ryan, something that I always like to look at when it comes to like trends, everything like that. Last year was such an unprecedented run at the start of it with offense going within the first half of the first round, in particular quarterbacks. This quarterback class is not as highly touted, but I do see a lot of teams heading up there, hanging out there in the top five, the top 10. That is there possibly some aggression about getting a player, getting a signal caller within the top 10 that might alter the draft boards for a lot of teams?
Yeah, Jalen Milroe really is the name, right? You know, Cam and Shadur are very, very likely. You know, if I had to sit here right now and predict or bet my house on two guys who are going to go in the top 10, it's going to be Cam and Shadur. I don't think that's making a statement at all. I think we all know that. But Jalen Milroe is really the name. You know, you look at Vegas, you look at what the Jets are going to do. What is New Orleans going to do with the position? You know, what's the future of Tua in Miami? You know, there's a lot of questions with those teams in there, that five and back. And Jalen is a guy to where I saw progression for him this year through the air. I know he's not perfect, and the Senior Bowl was not good for him, unfortunately. But the floor he has as an athlete and the ability to come in right away and just be able to expand the playbook and keep all 11 sets of eyes, on defense honest, is going to be something that teams are going to value. And he's going to absolutely kill the interview process, which is, you know, I know we talk a lot about the 40 and the vert and positional drills as far as in Indianapolis, but the interview process is the biggest thing when they get, you know, just sit down with these guys and talk to them. And Jalen's going to be sensational in those meetings, as he was in Mobile. So he's really a name, guys. That QB3 bucket, QB4, is it him? Is it Jackson Dart? I'm not on that train personally. I really like Tyler Shuck from Louisville. I think he's going to be a second-round guy at the end of the day, even though second-round guys, at the end of the day, you know, it's hard to it's just kind of like a unicorn, really. You don't see it a lot in the NFL, but Jalen Milroe, guys, there's one name in this QB class beyond Cam, beyond Shadur, to keep an eye on here in the first round.
I was so excited that you brought up Milroe's name. Our one of our afternoon hosts, Bulldog Chris Parker, he has a bet with our other afternoon host about Milroe being a top 16 pick. And personally, I'm not the biggest Milroe fan, but I like kind of the gusto and hearing you say that too. And especially because we're getting towards the combine, which that's where the physical traits get to pop off. And you know, Ryan, to your experience with the combine and all the draft stuff, I also feel like that's where everyone kind of actually figures out like where these draft boards are at. The Senior Bowl helps, but the combine sort of being that last spot before the pro days, it kind of feels like you're able to figure out really who are the loved guys and who might be slipping.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Really, this is the final boxes that these teams, you know, want to check. And even thinking back to my days in Washington, to how they finalized their draft boards, you know, you go into the combine, and I mentioned the interview process. It's just making sure you're solidifying everything. Do you have to dive back into the tape? Because a lot of times, you know, the GMs, the head coaches, they don't see these guys live throughout the year. It's the area scouts, it's the cross checkers. So now they're seeing these guys live in Indy, how they carry themselves, how they speak to each other. Are they going to be a culture guy in the locker room, a leader in the locker room, both on the field as contributors? Indianapolis is really fun away from just the positional drill. So I personally love getting up there to see guys, you know, expecting to run 4.4 and you run 4.6, so you have to dive back into the tape. But I'm not going to be a guy also, you know, that goes into this thing and says, hey, this guy ran 4.4 instead of running 4.6. I'm going to bump him up 50 picks. You know, I personally, for me, can't do that with years and years and years of tape on guys. But it's going to be a fun week. It always is. And really, as you said, it does allow teams to solidify their boards.
And Ryan, last thing for me here, I'm going to jump back to the defense here. I probably should have asked him for the defensive tackle guys, but I do want to touch on some of these edge rushers as well, because that is definitely potentially need for the Bills, especially when you hear all the Myles Garrett rumblings. People want it. But, you know, two guys that are maybe jumping out, mainly due to draft position, but also the Senior Bowl, Mike Green out of Marshall and then Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State. What have you seen from those two early on in this process?
Yeah, look, if you're Bean and you're sitting there and Mike Green's on the board, you sprint the card up. You know, I'm not sure he gets there to the back end of round one. You know, there's a lot of talk right now with him in that 10 to 17, 18 type of range. I personally don't see it as far as the 10, 11 range, but the biggest thing with Mike Green is, you know, you turn on the Ohio State tape, you turn on the Senior Bowl tape, you turn on his just fundamentally his pass rush clips, and it's outstanding. But one thing about Mike that is extremely underrated is his ability in the ground game. He gets after people. He can go through blocks, and he can also be a slasher at edge to where he's running down players from the backside too. So it's an underappreciated part of his game, and I've really enjoyed getting to know Mike a little bit as well during this process away from the football player, and he's just a guy that's going to come in right away and compete his tail off as well. And then Jack Sawyer, you know exactly what you get in a high floor type of player in Jack Sawyer. Now, the pass rush repertoire, I think, is going to continue to improve as the years go on. I think his ceiling is still probably 2-3 years away in that. But rundowns and competitiveness, high motor type of guy, really good hand usage. He's got good bend at his size. And I just love the way he plays his hair on fire at edge. And you know from Ohio State, highly recruited kids, athletic profile is going to be there. Now, he's not going to wow at the combine or in his pro day or anything like that. But you just know what type of football player you're going to get. And I think if you're the Bills and you're Sean McDermott and you're looking for players right away that you can look at and say, hey, come January of 2026, can we rely on you to create pressure in these big-time moments? And I think if you're sitting there with Mike Green, Jack Sawyer, both on the board, you just put their names in a hat, cover your eyes, and pick one out. You're going to have a good piece for a long, long time.
All right. There are some of those names to keep an eye on for really throughout the entire draft. Ryan, man, thank you so much for giving us so much of your time this morning. We're absolutely going to be touching base again here. So expect a phone call or a text here in the next few weeks as we get ready for that late April draft, man. Again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks as always, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Ryan.
And that was Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network there on the West Her Hotline. And I like some of those guys that he was talking about of, you know, it may not be necessarily the quote unquote, like the 2011 draft class right. Where it's just like guys, like there's all pros everywhere.
There's every one of you that's grabbing an edge rusher is going to have a great time.
But it feels like that's a lot of like NFL players. Like there was a few names that he mentioned there or that we even brought up that he mentioned kind of guys that just play the right way, hair on fire, you know, they get after it. Their potential might be a few years away, like you mentioned there with Jack Sawyer. But then, yeah. Yeah, like guys like Kenneth Grant, where you're sitting there going, it might be now, and they could be really, really good for you. And I'm excited at the idea of Milroe.
Yeah, you know,
I am so excited at the idea of
that. Milroe is going to be an ultimate wild card, like Ryan said. But there's something that I'm going to be fascinated about, even though he's probably the presumptive top pick. I do wonder what Travis Hunter's workout regimen is going to be at the combine.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask Ryan about them yet. Like the top guys, yeah. Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter and such, because I'm like, let's wait for the combine to finish out. Let's see what everyone's talking about, because that's going to be a thing, too, with Hunter. He's doing DB drills at the combine.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing. He's like, all right, so he's solidifying himself there. Is a team going to be willing to take
a corner at one,
exactly, with, like, a few, you know, throw-ins here and there at wide receiver. Especially after watching the Super Bowl, while yes, Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean played a big role for the Eagles, the defensive line was the star of that. And you wonder how much a team like, well, the bad teams of the NFL.
The Tennessee Titans
sitting at one. Focus too much on that and go, well, never mind, we're just going to take a quarterback and worry about it later. And Hunter, I don't want to say falls, but just is not the number one overall pick.
Like, ready? Does he make it to New England?
New England's at 4, right?
Yeah, and New England, primarily.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really needs receiver more than they do corner.
And I mean, they could argue for themselves too. We just need talent.
Yeah.
And they could just argue that we'll use them everywhere. We need talent. You've seemingly have the stamina to do this.
Mike Vrabel's not scared to do unconventional.
Yeah, I think the top. I always like the when the top half of the draft are like the first five or six picks.
And that was why I wanted to call
like a clear cut quarterback.
That's why I wanted to call into question about like what could the quarterbacks even with a bad or a subpar class, could they still throw the disruption like last year's class did? I don't think any of us saw six of them going in the top half of the draft.
No, and especially guys like Michael Penix, into Atlanta specifically.
And then you look at the top seven teams, so many of them need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're looking at Titans, Browns, Giants, Raiders, Jets.
Raiders might be the fun one for me at six, where that maybe frees up a lot of the first half of the draft if all of a sudden they go Milroe. Yeah. Or Jackson Dart. And that's the thing, too. You know, Ryan's not necessarily someone that's a Jackson Dart guy, but we could end the combine, and he's like, nah, we got four, maybe five quarterbacks here in the first round. And you mentioned it, too, with the Bills potentially being at pick 30.
Even New Orleans at 9.
Yeah.
That'd be a team like,
oh, yeah.
Especially with their cap troubles. I'd invest in a quarterback if I can at first moment. But then again, if they're going to be that bad this year with their cap issues,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you're probably looking at another top five pick.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number two call. What draft prospects are you looking at here with the NFL Combine getting started next week? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Sanders going to run it. Still on his feet. Still running. Finally pushed out of bounds at the 27-yard line.
That is Colorado's Shedeur Sanders considered one of the top two quarterback prospects in a relatively weak quarterback class, him along with Cam Ward out of Miami. Just talked with Draft Network's Ryan Fowler, and he mentioned another name in there, a third name that could be really fun to keep an eye on. I know our afternoon host, Bulldog, is keeping an eye on him. Jalen Milroe out of Alabama. A lot of physical traits. He is not a small guy by any means either, 6'2", 225. Really productive career at Alabama. And again, the traits off the chart. And then also another guy that Ryan was not necessarily a big fan of, but I have seen a lot of talk for him, Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. And Derek, when I look at this quarterback class, and you mentioned it today, the idea of is there another run here of quarterbacks, especially off of last year where, I mean, who missed really? Caleb Williams didn't have a great year. But
the only
you could argue it was more the coaching around him.
The bigger the miss, though, was honestly McCarthy for not knowing what you were going to get.
Yeah, having no idea what you're going to get. Yeah,
yeah, and there was a little bit of managerial malpractice from Atlanta, having signed Kirk Cousins, then drafting Michael Penix,
and then waiting for like a month and a half of Kirk Cousins then, throwing one touchdown,
but
to
also
Penix in.
Yeah, waiting 3 weeks too late to put Penix in to try to save their season. Ultimately, they fall one game short because of that fact. So I do suspect that like teams sometimes get overly excited about drafting a quarterback to a point where it becomes a flaw. And yes, it does look like, as you said, who missed? Then again, where are the hits outside of the potential of Sanders and Ward?
No, and I think that's the big thing is you looked at
last
year's quarterback
class. There's a lot of mystery.
Yeah, last year's quarterback class was much more different because it was last year Caleb Daniels and May were all considered, hey, any of the year, they're probably the number one pick. Caleb's just in the way. And then you had J.J. McCarthy, who I've always said if he played anywhere but Michigan, he's probably way more loved as a prospect. But he did everything he could at Michigan and won a lot.
And
he was a coach's dream.
I was the one that was like, really? McCarthy in the top 10?
I'm a big McCarthy guy.
And then Nick's going was kind of the big – like Penick's going where he went and Nick's going as soon as he went. Those were the surprises to me.
Yeah, so ultimately five quarterbacks go in the top 12, Bo Nix being the 12th pick to the Denver Broncos. I don't think you're going to have five guys taken in the top 15.
Wasn't it six?
Am I miscounting?
They were the top three, then McCarthy, Penix, Nix.
Oh, six. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, so six go in the top 12.
Which was nasty work, by the way.
And I don't think you're going to see six go again in 25 in that run. But
do we sneak a third or a fourth one into the first round?
Yeah.
And affect draft boards to a point where the Bills benefit from this.
And ultimately, looking at last year's draft, it was 1, 2, 3. Those are the first three picks. This year, Tennessee, we just mentioned, they could go Travis Hunter. They could go Abdul Carter. I've mentioned Mason Graham.
They could go Shedeur Sanders.
They could go Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. It's same with Cleveland. It's same with the Giants. Patriots, no. Jacksonville, no. Raiders, yes. Jets, yes. Carolina, no. Saints, yes. Chicago, no. Then you get to the 49ers at 11.
Maybe.
Could they be a team that goes?
Probably not.
I agree, probably not.
Mostly because they have a lot of things with an aging roster that they want to cycle out.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the owner has outright mentioned they want Purdy there for years to come.
Yes.
But you never know. It could be smokescreen season. They all of a sudden are like, Quinn Ewers, 11th pick in the draft.
Yes. But like, by the way, how would you feel if Quinn Ewers ends up a first-round pick?
Depends on where he goes.
Like, would you be surprised at all if he ends up
in
the first
round? I'd be horrified. But it depends on where he goes that I'd be like, there might be a chance they can salvage that. I think the Rams, I think the 49ers could be two teams because of the West Coast, or because of the Kyle Shanahan system, excuse me, that they could make it work. The more just, hey, hit the read that I'm telling you to go hit. He's got the arm talent. He has the high moments. Get him with a good coach.
And I do think that really the quarterback position would benefit the Bills more so in the second round, I think, than the first.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting that we have to think about that because teams do overdraft quarterbacks. That is just a reality within life now. Like when Daniel Jones got taken with the fourth overall pick, that was one of the biggest shocks that you could see.
The most stunning thing ever, if you really want to do it, and it's always fun, is go look at anybody's like top 150, top 100 players in a draft. And there's a lot of years where the top quarterback will be like at the earliest, like 25, 26.
Right.
And it's just because it's like, well, their value is so different that they will get taken a lot. Now, that's not true for every year. There are some years where it's like the quarterback's the best player in the draft, no, full stop. And it's the generational guys and what have you. But you'll also have
those
years.
Are typically your first quarterbacks overall.
Exactly. But then you also have years like this year where, you know, Cam and Shadur might be the first or second overall pick. They might be both of them right there. But they are not considered
on the
by any means
they're
the
like
best players. Exactly. And it's just all of a sudden it opens up the draft board, I think, for everybody. And I do look at a team like the Raiders or the Saints at 6 and 9 respectively of changing the dynamic of the draft. And why I brought that up with Ryan there towards the end of our conversation of, you know, finding out a lot of stuff at the combine. You start to at the Senior Bowl. That's all of a sudden where, you know, a guy like Mike Green out of Marshall went from somebody that was probably in like the second round, late second round even, to all of a sudden now you're hard pressed to find a mock draft that he's not gone by the pick of 25. You know, at the latest. The same can be true of the combine, where I now won't be surprised if come Monday in 2 weeks, if following the combine, that the first mock draft is all of a sudden Jalen Milroe gets taken 6th overall by the Raiders. And it's like, well, they had a big meeting with him. He had a ton of meetings with teams, and everything we're hearing is everyone loved how he performed. You know, look at another guy, DK Metcalf, from a number of years ago at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
He ultimately is not taken in the first round. He's taken late second round.
I think almost the last pick of the second round.
Yeah. But what was after the combine? He's a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
His only issue is his agent didn't tell him to not run the 3-cone drill.
Yeah.
That was his only issue.
And I do think that ultimately benefited him in the end when it came to going to a team that would use his talents properly.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle has done a good job with him overall. And I do think that he ended up in a good place. Not that his talent couldn't have thrived in a lot of places, but like I do think Pete Carroll at that time was probably one of the right coaches for him.
Even Russell Wilson's a quarterback at that time.
At that time, they were the right guys.
Throw just, you know, bombs away.
Have a guy that can bombs away for you, utilize that skill set.
Yep.
Like there were probably some floundering franchises that could have like torpedoed him right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that was, again, right place to go at the right time for him. But it was, again, a major surprise that a talent like that, because I remember that draft night. I was pounding the table for the Bills to take DK Metcalf at 9.
Oh, we all were.
Remember, and that Oliver, which that was I was still thrilled about.
But that was a 2-month run where it's like, I mean, do you take DK? Look, he's a specimen. I mean, that was the
whole
thing.
He's so good.
You know, he's getting comparisons because of his combine performance to the likes of Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss. And you're like, looking, and to be fair, even now, you'll every now and then hear about like the Bills to trade for DK Metcalf. You will still hear it because he has become a very good NFL wide receiver.
He still has physical talent and skill sets that are nice for any team to add.
But, I mean, that's what the combine is. It builds up the rumors. Now, again, I fully believe he fell for that reason, which was
absolutely.
The 3-cone drill and the feeling that it was going to limit what he could be in the NFL. And to your point, like you mentioned, Seattle's like, cool, why would he run any of those routes? He's bigger and faster than guys. We're going to use that rather than
use that size and that speed to maximize his potential.
But a bad team probably is like, you got to do all these things. You can't do it. Like, well, what's going on? And it's like, well, know who you're picking. You know how you're. And that's true of we talk about it a lot with quarterbacks. Landing spot sort of means everything. It's the same with every position. Landing spot means everything.
A landing spot is difference sometimes in a player's career of ultimately what makes them and what breaks them.
Yeah. I mean, here, perfect example is a guy like an Aaron Rodgers.
I got a fun question for you, and this is kind of going to derail the conversation that we're having, so I do apologize. Do you think the Titans actually make the pick?
Ooh, I had not even really thought about that much. I'm going to go yes.
Considering that like the quarterbacks aren't the best prospects at the position, like at the draft class, but all it takes is one team who desperately thinks that someone is.
I'm going to go with yes, mainly because I don't think there will be enough teams willing to make like the big move that, all right, yeah, you got to do that for a quarterback. I don't think any of the quarterbacks will wow anybody that much. I think they will make the pick. I don't think it will be a quarterback. I do think they'll go into next year with Will Levis.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Which, this might be
this
might be bad on me. I think it's going to be Will Levis or Aaron Rodgers that's their starting quarterback next year.
Oh, give me more reason to hate the Titans, please.
And I think they're going to be a team, a lot like the Patriots, where we are just taking the best player on our board. We need talent. We need young talent. We are taking the best guy. Tennessee's in the perfect position. they can go get their guy. And that's my thing, too, with New England, where I wonder how much it actually would have hurt them or would have helped them, getting the number one overall pick, because same with Tennessee. I wonder how many teams actually would have been calling to get a quarterback knowing New England won't take one.
Yeah, I'm really more or less thinking about the fact of, like, I do suspect that, like, I don't know, maybe the Giants might try to do something to, like, shuffle up a couple picks just to make sure that the Browns don't get someone that they want.
Right, or right.
There's some sort of, like, intrigue to me about, I don't know if Tennessee makes that pick, but you're right, it might be the market and typically how much the first overall pick has cost over recent years that if you're going to get a return, it's going to be a little bit disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you might want to try to influence the board a little bit, especially because the Titans only have a first and a second, and then they don't have a third-round pick at all.
No.
They go from 35 to 101. Ooh. They want, if you want to supplement the draft class, that's a good way to do it.
That might change my opinion. I didn't realize they was that steep.
That's why I wanted to ask, ooh, because there is some extra nuance to
and
this.
And you're right. Like a team like the Giants just jumping up from 3 to 1.
Or even, ready? I can't believe I'm saying this. New Orleans.
Going from 9 to 1? Oh, gosh.
If they wanted
that is a jump.
Like, say they wanted a quarterback, they were sold on someone,
mm,
and they know that they've got a little bit of, you know, you've got to eat it a little bit for years to come with the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Why not try to get a guy that you believe in right now?
Right, and get him cheap now. Work through your issues.
Work through your issues.
You're in a position too, and this has always been my problem with the Chicago Bears.
And you know,
and their drafting quarterbacks is they don't have a dead man walking coach. Where,
yeah,
what are we doing here? You're going to fire the guy at the end of the year anyways. Kellen Moore's in his first year, and New Orleans knows we're in a bad spot. We're not competitive. We need to get through these cap issues.
We need to sell this season to the fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, selling Derek Carr another year is not going to do it.
Selling Derek Carr in the worst cap situation in the National Football League is probably not the greatest thing in the world. What puts buns in seats for me if I'm New Orleans? You make a splash. You know who else makes a splash and has been really making bad decisions lately? Jerry Jones.
Oh, I think Ashton Gentry's a Dallas Cowboy already.
But that
I'm completely serious.
But that could influence like a trade into like the top 5 or top 10 for mm-hmm. Dallas. So there was.
Could you imagine there was a very into the top 5 to draft Genty?
There was a lot.
Oh my goodness.
There was a lack of movement last year because the board was falling perfectly for so many teams.
Yeah, everyone was getting exactly what they wanted.
I think that it's not even going to be close to the case at this point, and I think that teams will have to do things and move mountains around to get players that they want.
It helps when the quarterback class is kind of up in the air. That's what allows for
including
it.
At quarterback, when it looks like there's really only two guys that everyone's agreeing are going to get taken in the first round in the top half of the draft.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer with you here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Wednesday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. So, Derek, we were talking a lot in that last segment and in the break of the number one overall pick. What's Tennessee going to do? And I think we've now discovered maybe like the perfect plan for them.
Yeah, the little discussion that we had about does Tennessee trade the pick kind of brought in an off-air revelation from you, Zach, that that sounds fun to close the show off with, which is, what about Sam Darnold?
Yeah, Darnold's going to be a Tennessee Titan. I am writing that in ink in my predictions. I think he's going to be a Tennessee Titan.
And that would also give Tennessee a little bit more courage to trade down.
Because then it becomes, let's build around this quarterback.
Can Darnold be Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, you'll put a little bit of money, less money because of those last two games, but you'll put money into him. He's got an offensive coach who worked with Joe Burrow, and now
you work for that trade down.
You work for that trade down. Ultimately, it's going to be the Giants. Because the Giants are the other
big Darnold. Or you shrug your shoulders and go, Travis Hunter's cool.
Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. And whoever the best like guy is on your board that you're like, he helps us the most right now.
It will be interesting to see how Tennessee works Hunter.
And looking at the available cap space, I think the Giants are really like a big team that kind of like flashes at you of like who could go get Darnold. They're right around the same in terms of cap space, just right now looking at available cap space today.
And if I'm Darnold, no thank you, I'm not going back to New York.
Well, I'm not going back to the New York market. We talked about that. But also, I'm not dealing with Jaden Daniels and the Philadelphia Eagles, plus the Giants market, which is going to crucify me if I don't immediately become the best quarterback.
Especially because the last time I was here, I was
the pariah of a badly run organization.
Driven out of town, yeah. Thanks to a bad organization.
Where instead you go to Tennessee, where Houston looks like they have a quarterback and not much else. Jacksonville is on to their next head coach. Sorry, their third head coach trying to fix Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And the Colts, who are they ever going to figure out quarterback post Andrew Luck?
Continue to be like spinning their tires.
And I would argue two of the four teams legitimately have bad NFL owners in the Colts and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
If I'm and this is purely play, but also pay because of where they're at with the Giants as well. If I'm Darnold, I'm dealing with the Nashville media rather than the New York media. I'm dealing with a bad division, and my team's going to have the number one overall pick. They can add kind of whatever's going to help me, whether that be a talent on the defense or talent on the offense. It's Tennessee. They're not going for Rodgers. They're going for Darnold.
That would actually really make sense. And then especially with like the Rodgers thing, like Pittsburgh's the one that everyone's hearing the most about or like projecting the most about. Also, I could look at NFL teams and say, is he worth the headache anymore?
And the answer for most of them probably will be absolutely not. That's going to do it for us today. Coming up next, Sabres Live, as the Sabres got back to practice yesterday. Four Nations face-off wrapping up tomorrow. We'll get you guys over to those guys coming up after a quick timeout. This is WGR.